Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good Thursday morning, Nashville. Let's talk some sports. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game, The Game Nashville app. I'm Elijah Campbell, filling in for Robbie Stanley for two more weekday sports talk mornings, alongside with Joe Rex Road. He's still here. And Michelle Knezovic behind the glass, making sure that we don't get fired and that we stay on air. How are we doing this morning, gang?
Okay.
Okay. We'll take
Michelle.
We'll accept. Okay,
I'll hand it over to you, Michelle.
Yeah, you know, eyes are slowly waking up. I turned the lights on full blast this morning in here, so we're doing good. I got my coffee.
That's brave of you.
And I made my coffee this morning.
Well, oh,
novel idea.
I made one and then I bought one. So we're baby steps, everyone.
Baby steps. Yeah,
I didn't get a large. I only bought a medium, but then I made more. So
okay,
Rome wasn't built today, so I don't blame you. Now, I'll have a confession to make right now. Last night's game one of the Stanley Cup final was fantastic. It was a really, really good game in which the Avalanche won in overtime. I just really wish I saw the ending because I fell asleep during the intermission between third period and overtime.
Yeah.
So I got to miss the excitement.
That's too bad. I actually did see it. And I was very close to just bagging it because it's like, if this is going to – you got to make business decisions. I was very close, and then the Avs ripped down the ice and scored, and so I actually got to see it. I was kind of pleasantly surprised. Not pleasantly surprised necessarily by what happened, but a great game. I mean, if that's what we're going to get the rest of this series, it's going to live up to the hype.
Oh, it absolutely will. Yeah, so it was what? The Avs go up 2-0 early. Lightning score, and then the Avs end up going up 3-1, and then the Lightning score two goals in 48 seconds to tie the game. Had overtime, and then Andrei Burakovsky ends it with less than 2 minutes into overtime, which is crazy. If I could just made it 2 minutes into overtime, I would have gotten to see it. I would have gotten to witness what actually happened, but I could not make it then.
Yeah, I was basically like, maybe go to the midway point, but it stinks too because it's like, how do you bail on a – you know, a Stanley Cup final overtime, but you just have to do it. So they did some people a favor by making it fast. But yeah, I really thought Tampa Bay had the upper hand. You know, after they tied it up, Kucherov with an incredible play on the not tying goal, but the goal before that. But Colorado they come at you. They keep coming at you.
Come at you in waves and with their depth too. Obviously, I think they were probably the better roster, but like the goalie mismatch is one of which. Like, and I thought Kemper actually played relatively well last night. I didn't think he was bad, but they're going to need him to at least display some competence against that team. And you're right about that Kucherov play. That one was pretty good. I mean, he dissected an entire defensive unit on his way to the net for dishing it off. Was it Palat that ended up scoring that?
I believe so. Yes.
That was
who's got 9 goals in the playoffs, by the way. So
who has been incredible? Yeah. So many of those Lightning players have had just incredible postseasons. And there were several times I thought the Lightning probably should have the Ross Colton play in the third period too, where he was right in front of the net and just kind of missed it. That guy's been snake bitten for the entire playoffs. As we hear Joe's computer turn on. Good morning to Joe's computer.
We hear Joe's computer turn off. So
off.
There goes the Zoom, because apparently now the battery has about 4 minutes left. So good times.
Yeah, that's how my computer is. Like, if I don't have it plugged in, like I said earlier in the week, this bad boy has been around, has been in my life for, we're talking like over 10 years now, well over 10 years. And if it is not plugged in, it has maybe 3.5 minutes before it is dying.
Yeah, this is 3 years, so no such excuses.
Advanced technology.
Or advanced age for what it's supposed to be.
Maybe it's Benjamin Button and it just ages backwards. And then maybe once you have that thing for 10 years, it will have endless battery life.
There you go.
Maybe. One could only hope. But watching the game last night, too, also makes you think of the Preds and Philip Forsberg situation, which John Hines did come up on the afternoon or midday show yesterday. He joined Darren, Willie, and Derek to obviously discuss 615 day, an array of things. But he sounded pretty confident that something with Forsberg is going to get done. And he even said the words, confident that something is going to get done. Did not detect any worry there. But what were your thoughts, I guess, hearing that? And does that move you up just a little bit, maybe from 52% that Forsberg's going to be playing in a Preds uniform next year to maybe, I don't know, 53?
I guess I 55. Could lie. I could lie to you and tell you that I heard it, but I didn't. So well, I don't know.
You're hearing
I'd
me
like
say
to
it.
Hear
yeah.
it.
You're hearing me say it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you put a coach in that situation, how many coaches are like, yeah, I'm really pessimistic. You know, I'm not feeling good about this, guys.
Say pessimistic, but they might just be they give you the canned answer. They can give you the Derek Jeter, and that is a nice 5-minute answer in which nothing is said.
Yes, but see, this is where are you confident? Yeah, I'm confident. See, like that, I need to hear the exact words.
Okay, we'll play it for you here.
Yeah. Yes. I actually running around trying to get ready to go into a dunk tank yesterday, so.
Yeah. Oh, we need updates
from
that.
I missed that. Yeah.
I know Michelle got the short end of the stick there and was the last one in. And the water quality.
It was about what we thought.
Was exactly what you thought. Once I got there yesterday and I was informed that they're not changing the water out, I immediately sent my T's and P's to both of you because I know you'd be going in at the tail end, especially Michelle. Michelle was the last one in there.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
She can confirm it got gross.
Well, I paid $20 for 12 throws to dunk Michelle. And how many times did I dunk you? I mean, I gave Chase, what, 3 of them? And, like, I've actually never seen anyone throw a ball the way Chase does. It's interesting. But
poor Chase.
Suffice to say, those were 3 wasted balls.
Yeah,
but
there's
the
a
9. You got what? 5 times probably?
Probably. I know you hit like the first 3 in a row because I just kept dunking. But there's a funny video on Twitter and Joe hits it on the first try and he's like ha 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 ha. But yeah. Then again, Caroline, his daughter and I, you know, pretty much just dunked Joe without even hitting.
Yeah, well, I mean Caroline keeps, you know, cheating and just going up and I mean it was kind of funny when she snuck around. That was but like the first you can't just go up and smash the button.
It's funny because like when
she's
Chase,
grounded.
I'm surprised that the button was even working at that point because when Chase was on, he was the first one to get baptized in the dunk tank yesterday. That anytime the ball actually hit it, it wouldn't like make the seat go down. So you'd have to go up there and just like jam it. So like these kids are like nailing the target or whatever. It's like, all right, yay. And then we have to go up there, walk up there and like press it. And that's a delayed reaction. But
yeah,
nice to see. Oh, great. Wow. Yeah. Did he make it out of the first segment this time?
Yeah, it's probably
now
indicative
this is,
of the day ahead here.
This is the Joe Rex Road that we prepared for. This is what I've been waiting for all week.
Yeah, it's like you could hit the target dead on and not dunk someone, but if you hit it really hard near it, you would get it. Which is I got Michelle at least one of those where it was like I actually didn't hit the thing, but I brought the heat, you know.
You threw it hard enough in the general vicinity of the target to make it go down.
So yeah, I mean I'm interested. Yeah, at some point here, I'd like to hear exactly how John Hines said it because. I just, you know, like it's interesting. Like, it's good to have John Hines on, of course, and
yes.
Talk about things. But, you know, John Hines, like the coach in situations like this, you know, it's not that he doesn't communicate, not that he doesn't know what's going on, but ultimately, it's not his job to negotiate this with his agent either, right?
Right.
I mean, look, I mean, we're going to have Jared on later because the Jared and I had this argument yesterday in his tainted victory. About the, like he's 100%, it's over. It's a, and I'm like, but like you're to me, you're making big leaps in Forsberg's head. You know that, like, I agree with the premise that ultimately Mike Poile can't let him get away. So Poile's going to have
the pressure on the franchise is astronomical.
Yeah. Poile's going to have to come across the line and do it. What does that sound?
I don't know, but I'm hearing it too.
Are we haunted?
I hope so. And make for great, I mean, great entertainment.
I mean, this is like it's like a ghost hitting chains in the background.
Well, that's just eerie. Just eerie.
It does sound a little eerie.
Okay. Well, anyway, our haunted. Maybe this is the ghost of Ryan Suter saying, "Don't be so sure.
Don't
it's 100%.
Be so sure." He said, "Nothing's 100%."
But no, I mean, from the Poile, yeah, there you go.
It's 100%. Ooh,
from the you know, from the Poile perspective, yes, you got to do it. You have to. You got to cross the line. And so, if it's as simple as Forsberg's, like, just give me what I want, I'm here. Then okay, then I would go higher. But I don't know that. I don't know that. And I mean, really, that sound is really bothering me.
You have three hours and 45 more minutes of it.
All right, hold on. I'm going to mute.
I'll mute, too.
It's you.
It's me.
It's you. It's on your side. Like, mute yourself. No, maybe it's not you.
The vent. There's a vent in here. It's making some noise. It's making an appearance.
All of a sudden, the ceiling just...
I mean, be ready.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that to just assume that it's just that simple for Forsberg, I think is making an assumption. Is 52 low?
I think it's a little low.
You think it's a little low? Okay. Yeah. So what's your number?
I think I'm at 65 now.
You're at 65. So Hines got you to 65?
That made it go from 60 to 65.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I would have a jump also. Yeah. Based on that, if we can come back for another segment, if this place doesn't collapse,
if there's not some kind of a creature that falls through the vents here, because it is making its rounds in the ceiling at the Hillside Medical Game Studios, we'll be back with more, and you'll find out if we're actually still here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
I know last year you had to wait until the last second almost when the free agency started before you knew you had Mikhail Granlund back, a guy that does so many things for you. So as you prepare, we all know that everybody's anxiously waiting to see what the story is with Philip Forsberg. How do you try to gauge and hopefully envision your team with him, but also envision what you would do as a plan B, plan C, et cetera?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going through now. I mean, there's obviously very good communication with Philip. You know, he's around. He's at Centennial Sportsplex. He's working out. He's skating. So, you know, he's in a good spot. We've connected and talked, and I think he's in a good place. But things have to play out, obviously, on the business side with him. So we certainly have a plan. If Philip comes in, this is what he could get paid. These are the years. This is what our team looks like with him on it. Okay, how do we want to surround it? So let's target these types of players, and this is what our budget will look like. Okay, if Philip doesn't sign, okay, what's that next stage? How are we going to – maybe there's more players to add. There's maybe a different style of a player to add. You know, things change, but we certainly have, you know, plan A and B for sure, where you have Philip or you don't have Philip. It's two different situations, but we're certainly prepared. We're working on those things. We have targets in each one, and, you know, hopefully for us, you know, we have a lot of respect for Phil. I really enjoy coaching him. He's a big part of our team. He's been a big part of the Predators organization. And, you know, certainly from our perspective as coaches, we're hoping that Philip, is going to stay here and continue to be a big part of our team. And, we're optimistic and pretty confident that will happen.
Pretty confident. They have a plan A and a plan B. But I don't think you want to see what plan B looks like in this town if Philip Forsberg walks. I know pretty darn well you don't want to see what Plan B looks like in this town.
52.
Still at 52.
Just put me down for 52. I just like the number 52. I don't know why. Put me down at 52.
There's no significance to the number 52?
Well, no, I don't think so. No. In fact, I can't even really think of a famous 52. I'm sure there is someone, but
that's a really good question.
Does 52?
There's got to be one.
Bring anyone to mind? Weird, right?
52. I mean, you can pretty much exclude the sport of basketball.
Lots of 50. I mean, think of 51s and 50s.
52?
52. There's lots of 54. I don't know. 58. Yeah. Big Jack Lambert. Shout out to the Steelers. There's Steel Curtain.
We're going to find out.
Long before Michelle graced the earth to enjoy the Steel Curtain. So listening to that quote, I'm like, wait a minute. This was supposed to be like a good sign for Forsberg. But then at the end, you know, pretty optimistic, pretty confident. Maybe I'll go to 54.
Okay,
I'll go up 2%. I'll go 54.
You'll add a little.
I mean, 54-46. You know, 54-46. That's some separation now. Now that's a little bit of separation. Interesting though. Interesting stuff from John Hines just on the Plan B, and even the idea of, you know, different kind of player. Maybe like you reimagine your team, which is interesting. You know, because you like so far in a pretty short period of time with John Hines, it seems pretty consistent. The valuing of physicality, the valuing of size, and I guess the devaluing of not size. You know, like all the little guys are gone. You know, that's why I'm like, you know, we've talked about like Johnny Gaudreau. If they don't sign Forsberg, it's like. Would that be a John Hines kind of player? But of course, John Hines would probably say,
I'll make it my kind of player. Well, I had 115 points.
Yeah, scoring. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is he getting 100 points? Okay. I think that's, yeah, winning is my kind of thing. Mean, all coaches would say that, right?
Good players are my kind of players. Yes.
Yeah. But physicality obviously has been a huge part of this team's transformation. And this used to be probably as well, it would have to have been in the bottom quarter of the league, I would say. I mean, someone correct me if I'm wrong in terms of just overall physicality and certainly in terms of intimidation. I mean, this was a team where you probably felt okay taking a run at one of their stars for a little period of time there, and that's not the case anymore. Now I'd say they're in the top.
I mean, they led the league in penalty minutes by a mile.
Right.
I mean, you
could argue that they're as like physical / willing to drop them as anybody, right?
Oh yeah, they owned the penalty box this year. That was the second home. Bridgestone Arena was home number one. The Sin Bin was home number two for that team. They lived in that thing. Side note: Sports Illustrated has Ray Lewis as the greatest number 52 of all time.
Oh my gosh.
We just completely forgot about Ray
Lewis. No, I thought Ray Lewis was 51.
No, he was not 51.
Ray Lewis was 52.
52. Here's some photo evidence.
That's a huge, huge mistake. That's exactly who I was thinking of when I said, like, you know, 51.
I was thinking
Ichiro.
I didn't even think.
Wow.
Ray Lewis. That's a huge
mistake on my part.
They have Dick Butkus as the greatest 51 of all time.
Yeah. And then you got Singletary at 50. I mean, I hate talking about a lot of Chicago Bears. But.
Well, David Robinson at 50. So.
Oh, okay.
This is an interesting list. You ever get the time? This also was like made in 2009. So.
This is on whose?
Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, the SI, the best number. Yeah, I think they had some that were really egregious, as I recall. But that'll be a good list to revisit in July. Just every year, just bring out the Sports Illustrated 2009 jersey list.
That's running on 13 years now. I think we could make some amendments here. There's got to be some.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, there's got to be an editor at SI right now who's like, you know what, like, list needs a little fixing.
Like, I'm bad with numbers. I think non-football numbers I'm bad with. Like, basketball, I don't – like, I mean, obviously, I know Isaiah's 11, right? But, what is Steph's number? I don't even know Steph. 3?
Are you kidding?
No. What number? See, do you know?
No, because basketball, you can actually, see their faces. I know what you mean. Like, football, it's like you know their numbers.
Like, you have to track their numbers when they're on the field because they have helmets on. And you're right. What is Steph's number?
7.
Dude, just say it.
You guys are messing with me.
I'm not.
30.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yep. I had 3, right? I had one of the digits.
You had a digit, but, it's the digit you said times 10.
But you know it's Steph. You don't even need to.
I know Draymond's 23 because like he wore that at Michigan State, which I thought was hilarious. Like, oh, you're Jordan, dude? Okay. Drop a couple pounds, buddy.
Joe defending Jordan.
Well, no, I'm just saying Draymond came in. He was
Joe defending Jordan while also trashing Draymond a little bit in the same sentence is not something we thought we'd see today.
No, I'm just saying when Draymond came in and Draymond was in high school, which is why Izzo was hesitant to offer him. He was a chunker. I mean he was. Yeah, it's incredible
thick
what he's
with
done.
Two C's.
Yeah, there you go. What's Clay? Clay? I don't know what Clay is. I don't know.
11.
Okay, it is 11. I actually was going to say that. Okay. Well, anyway.
See, you probably know more.
Yeah, so I don't know how we got into this off the Preds, but okay, I'll go to 54. I go to 54. I feel like those words, it's not like, because that was my question. Oh, so John, you confident? Oh, yeah, we're confident. See, now that, then he used the word, but he just repeated the word. In this situation, yes. He independently came up with those words.
Yes.
And this is where these things get so, I mean, they get so annoying.
That's why it's
to
only
try to guess these things.
It is, exactly. And for us to dissect it as much as we will, and I'm going to do that right now, and I like to make fun of people for doing that, but I'm going to do the exact same thing that I make fun of other people for doing. So he also, I think he rounded his bases. He mentioned, you know, there's a plan A, a plan B. Like, if we get Philip Forsberg, then we're going to show him, you know, like what we can surround him with. And if we don't, we have to come up with, like, you know, with an identity or what this team's going to look like and all this kind of stuff. Like, I think he talked through every single option, which is like my favorite kind of sports take, right? And it's the one that I think I have mastered. It's where I'll talk through every single option. I'll pick one, even though if that one doesn't happen and another one does happen, I can preemptively say, hey, I wasn't lying to you because I said this was a possibility.
There was
some hard hedging there where it's like, we feel confident we're going to get him, but we have a plan if he doesn't. But we feel pretty good that we're going to get him, and this is what the team's going to look like. But we have a plan B in place. And I just, like, my thing is they don't want to know what plan B looks like in terms of fan enthusiasm.
Now, like, I do actually believe, because, you know, some people are like, well, they don't have, they're just, it's all the eggs in the basket, and then if they don't sign Phil, then they're just going to just walk into the wilderness and, oh, my gosh, what do we do? I mean, I'm sure they actually have devised some plan. I mean, how could you not? This is your job, your well-paying job. We can sit around here and talk about, like, different players that you might have, right?
Yeah.
You think that the people in the building whose job it is to go, like, let's just sit around. You know, let's just play Sudoku. I mean, no, I'm sure they have a plan. But it's not a plan that you probably embrace, right? Because to me, you have to probably push forward if you lose him. But if you did lose him, and again, you get no assets, and that's a killer, then you also could make the case to, okay, do you think about a step back here? I don't think they will at all. But I'm just saying there's a case it could be made. James on the text line, driven by WilsonCounty.com, says, I love GMDP, David Poile, but we all know this is not the first time he will have been played by a player, and he's at 20%. So we got a wide range.
Okay, we do.
Now that would be Barry Sanders and Billy Sims, and there's really no one else you need to mention. 20 is a little pessimistic. I feel I'm good beyond 50%, but this – I think that there's the biggest thing I had, the biggest reason I believe Forsberg could go somewhere else is his view of the team.
If he's not confident that they're going to be able to be contenders.
So we had this argument yesterday, again, in this tainted win. They're all tainted if he wins. I said, you think that someone wants to sign up for several years of not winning, not having fun? And, you know, Jared said, well, they don't care. Give me the money. But you can get the money and win. It is miserable. If you're an athlete at this level, if you're a competitor at this level, it's miserable to lose.
Especially now, some people, professional sports, when that losing can happen up to like 50, 55 times a year.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's great money and all that. But how many people get to this level if they aren't dogged competitors if they don't hate losing. Some way more than others, right? No yes. question. There's a scale, but you can't tell me that anyone in his position isn't thinking about those things too. Where you live, yes, that's mm-hmm. a big plus. The financial aspects of it, big plus here. This is all he knows. He has really good friends. He has had some friends that have been shipped away, by the way, and went to a place, one of which could possibly sign him, by the way.
That also made the playoffs and pushed the Oilers
but,
in a playoff series.
You know, but yeah, I mean, there's to me, that's the biggest question. I agree that Poyle was put in the position of having to cross the line as soon as we hit the trading deadline. But you know, Forsberg going out there saying, hey, everybody, you could have taken that toast as a guys. He said, like, thanks for taking care of me. You know, love you guys. See ya. I mean, you could take it however you want to take it. But I'll go 54.
Still at 54. What percentage are you as a Preds fan on the percentage that Philip Forsberg will be wearing a National Predators jersey next year? We'll continue the discussion. Take your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be back. Robbie and Rex Road. I'm Elijah Campbell filling in for Robbie Stanley here on ESPN, 1025, 1063 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Listen to us every day on the radio, on 1025 The Game, on 1063. Or the Game Nashville app, but you can also watch us and our shenanigans on our streaming, which we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. You could have seen me turn my computer around, forgetting that I'm on Zoom to show Joe that Ray Lewis did indeed wear 52. So for about 5 seconds on our stream, you did get double Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, like the farther away one's better anyway. That's what we should do is turn these around and just have farther away angles.
Kind of like
kind of like the full studio shot, you know, that used to be here.
That's so far gone. The GoPro.
Is that camera just gone now, or is that actually still a camera in there? No?
The GoPro is now the Gone Pro. It is no longer here. The GoPro went. And that is a camera that Jared brought in, I think, to try for one of his broadcasts whenever.
Does it work?
I've never seen him use it, so I don't think it works.
Only Jared can use it? Is this like take my ball and go home if you guys can't touch my toy? Are you serious?
No, I don't know.
I don't even think it actually, like, I don't think it worked.
All right, well, I'm going to text him right now. He's up, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
He might even be listening, so he might even, like, answer your question now.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
He's going to come on the show. He's got to prepare for a couple hours.
You are definitely getting, not roasted, but someone did have to correct you that Ray Lewis was wearing number 52.
Yeah,
Dave in Hendersonville.
No, it's incredible. I in my mind, he was 51. That's so weird. It's really weird.
That is definitely right? A weird Mandela effect thing. I have that with a lot of things in sports. Like, I thought Josh Johnson played for at least five other football teams, and like when you tell me he only played for like five, then it is the most surprising thing. I thought he was touching double digits in like terms of teams he actually played for, but it actually is only like five.
Okay.
That's one of the many. There are a lot of like weird Mandela effect things in sports, and that's like one of them. And for you, you thought Ray Lewis is number 51.
I mean, as we were going through the numbers, I was like, obviously you got like 50s and 51s, and in my mind I'm thinking, Ray Lewis, 51, Singletary, 50. No. But as someone pointed out, Buckus was – if Ray Lewis were 51, who would be the honorary 51? It'd probably be Ray Lewis, but boy, Buckus is
pretty good.
It's a tough one, man. That's a good one.
Then they got to compete with Ichiro too, one of the greatest hitters to ever live.
Ichiro was
51.
So no clue. Okay,
that is wild to me. How you like jersey numbers? I feel like are one of the easiest ones to remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember jersey numbers from players on my teams when I was a kid.
Fair.
I don't know. And typically football. Because, again, like you said, you got to foul.
And hockey, too.
Yeah, hockey.
Hockey and
like,
football.
Yeah.
But, I mean, baseball, basketball, for me, I'm like,
yeah.
I know faces more.
God. I've never really thought of this. I punched the mic. But, by the way, the weird ghosts in the ceiling are apparently gone now.
Yeah, because we're not hearing anymore. And it was the, I guess, the ghost of Preds Ryan Suter saying it's never 100%. Ooh.
Oh, man.
It's not 100%, which is why I'm down to 65.
65.
I'm right. still
You're 65. I'm at 54. Okay.
It went up to.
Do you have a percentage, Michelle?
Michelle
may as well go on the record with a percentage.
I'm going to go 70-30.
Okay.
Okay, 70.
That was what I was at yesterday and pretty much through this whole process.
Okay.
Been around 70-30. 70 that he stays, obviously. 30 that he gets out of town.
Yeah, I mean, I dipped, you know, quite a bit at the deadline. But they've got time. They've got almost a month here. So almost a month still of...
There's time.
What's your, you know, what's your confidence level, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I suppose... You know, this time of year, you start – now the Titans are done, and, of course, we're about to start talking a lot about the Titans. But the Titans are done, and off we go into the deadness of summer. So here, Forsberg, you know, being unsigned, hey, sure.
Here's a fun question. Are you more confident that Philip Forsberg re-signs the Predators or Treylon Burks is in top-notch shape by training camp?
Well, see, that's the only issue with that question is that's very subjective. What is top-notch shape? Like shape
participating in practice and making it through the whole practice.
Participating every day and making it through the whole thing.
Yes.
I guess I might go Forsberg. It's so hard to know because the thing is, you know, if Treylon Burks is on the bike the other day, that means probably that Treylon Burks has some, and maybe it is just this stuff. Maybe it's just this stuff, but it also could be just some tweak, you know. And that's the problem, is that you don't know. You don't know that it's not that, right? And, and you're not. You are absolutely not really with anybody. Maybe a little more if you got the guy at the bottom of the roster trying to make teams like, hey, get every rep you can in minicamp. But any of your key players have a minor injury, really, in camp too. They're not going to be out there. So, I mean, I have to think Treylon Burks is looking at the next 6 weeks like you have to do every single thing you can do. And if the thing is, you know, because right now I think it's way too early to like make some judgment like he's not serious about it or whatever. I understand the Albert Breer reports, and I'm not dismissing that altogether. But I still think it's way too early to have this concern that he's, you know, just blowing this off and it's going to be like another Isaiah Wilson kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be quite the disaster.
That'd be quite a downer for the Titans.
I'm going on a limb and say he will play more than one snap. That's my hot take. That's it. I know Collier shot is not for another day, but yeah, how about that? How about that one? How about that for going out on a limb? Treylon Burks will play more than one snap as a Tennessee Titan.
Isaiah Wilson did have four, by the way. He had three on special teams. I think he had one on offense. But one
offensive snap. How about that? There we go.
I think that's right. But
you know
what?
I'll push it. I'll double down. He'll have more than four.
Okay. Wow. Getting crazy with it.
That's a take, Quake.
Yeah, but that's a good question. I mean, they're both probably a little bit over 50% for me. And the thing is about it, when you talk about it, he could be in tip-top shape, by the way, and still not do every snap because of asthma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is possible. Like, maybe they're still going to be like, yeah, let's ease up here, there, whatever. You're on a plan, but he could still come in and actually be in great shape. And we wouldn't necessarily know it if he misses any time.
That's true. That can make that question a little tricky. Now, since you chose Forsberg, what are you more confident percentage-wise? Philip Forsberg is the Nashville Predator next year, or the Boston Celtics make this a Game 7 in the NBA Finals?
I actually think Boston's going to win tonight. I think you make the case they're better. I think it's very close. I think the difference in the teams is it's probably –
It's a lot closer than the scores indicate. I will say that. I can agree with that.
Yeah, as cliche as it is, I think the difference in the teams is probably those moments. They've got some guys who've been through these many times in the biggest. You know, that's why this was 2-2 going back to Golden State. But I think Boston at home. I think they'll come up with a good performance. I think this is destined for 7. So confidence in it's also very close. That's also very close. Forsberg or that But I think I go Boston. I'm about 63%. Nah, 61%. I'm 61-39 Boston's winning tonight.
Interesting. I think
a lot of math today.
The thing that gives me hesitancy to pick the Celtics, A, I've picked them in almost every game in the series. I feel like I every game that the Warriors have won, I've whiffed on. I would say I was saying that the Celtics would win, and vice versa. I have just been awful at picking this series. But the Celtics make sense tonight, but they're like 6-5 at home in these playoffs.
Yeah, it's weird.
They have not played particularly well. They've been better on the road than they have at home in these
playoffs. Well, look at the Miami series. It looks like they're toast when they lose game six.
Oh, yeah, and they go to
and
game.
And they're not at all on the road.
And Milwaukee looks like they were toast.
That's
when they got beaten game five.
That's
Milwaukee's
right.
up 3-2. They have to go to Milwaukee, and Jason Tatum plays the game of his life, drops 46. They go to game seven, and then we have the Grant Williams game.
And they did play great in that game at home. So when it's desperation time at home, they've been good.
That's true. They have been good, which they didn't lose two games consecutively in these playoffs until game five.
Right.
So,
which is part of why erroneously picked them last game. Yes.
That's right. Erroneously. That is a good word.
Thank you. Yeah, I think Boston's going to win tonight, though. I do.
All right. We'll break down later on in the show as well. That way I can go ahead and finally craft my next erroneous take. Coming up next, though, it is the best and worst in sports. It is my turn to finally hijack another staple segment of the show. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN, 102.5, 106.2, The Game Nashville app. The best and the worst in sports this week. Elijah Campbell here, filling in for Robbie Stanley. We're going to talk about things that are really, really good and really, really bad. Do you want to start off with the bad news or the good news first?
Well, we traditionally just let me go.
Okay.
And I say both mine.
Okay.
It's kind of unfair. It's kind of like my ball. Take the ball.
Well, here's the thing. We used to do all best and then all worst. And then Joe was like, well, I got best and worst. So.
Well, the thing is I'd have a lot that were like, in fact, I could do it this week too. I have a lot that are like, this is it's like the duality of man, okay? It's like the things that are really good, but then they're contrasted immediately by something bad. So, for example, my best is Steph. It's Steph Curry, and it's Game 4 in Boston, and it was epic. I don't know if it's gonna, be up there. I don't think I'd put it up there with like Magic, and his ridiculous. Games was it six? The clinching game in 1980, filling in for Kareem. I don't know that I'd put up with Isaiah Thomas on 1 foot scoring 25 points in a quarter, which John Stockton would never dream of doing, by the way, ever in his life.
Gary Payton did say recently in the podcast that the toughest guard, the toughest offensive or defense assignment he ever had was John Stockton.
Great. Well, then I'm convinced.
Love.
Yeah. The glove was pretty good. John Stockton can't hold Isaiah's jock. But regardless, Steph Curry is my best. I could go worst with like the takes about Steph in the next game. But he went 0-for-9.
Yes.
And of course, people can't possibly, this is how flustered I am, can't possibly wrap their head around like you can do other things on a basketball court, right? But
there's more than just shooting the basketball.
But my worst is going to be Vols baseball. It's just, this week is so much about, like, the Vanderbilt fans. In fact, I was talking to Gentry Estes at Titans the other day, yesterday, and he's just like, man, these Vanderbilt fans, like, they so badly want this to be, like, a total value judgment on their program. And it's like, they hate the program. But take that to the side, man, did they blow it. Man, did the Vols blow it. They just played really way below their level overall, and Notre Dame deserves credit, and everybody in this tournament that wins deserves credit, of course. But the Vols really, really choked this away.
Blew a golden opportunity. But I'll keep it in baseball here for my best. My best here is in the sport of baseball. Like, my favorite thing about it is like the sport is pretty old, right? Like, it's like when the oldest professional sport. around. I mean, like, we've been playing Major League Baseball, professional baseball since Reconstruction. A lot of stuff has happened. So when you get a first, it has to be a statistical anomaly. And last night we got that. The Houston Astros had two different pitchers throw immaculate innings in the same game against the same three batters. The statistical likelihood of that is so low. Now, for those who don't know what an immaculate inning is, that is when you strike out all three batters in the inning on three pitches each time.
Wow.
So three-pitch strikeout, three-pitch strikeout, three-pitch strikeout. The Astros had two players last night pitch immaculate innings against the exact same three batters for the Texas Rangers.
So the worst is those batters, I hope?
The worst has to be. The worst, you could put them for the worst, but I would. Now, it's gotten a little better, but last week the NL Central has become the most boring division in baseball. I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan. Disclaimer. They are bad. They are really bad. They are comically bad. When you start your season 3-23, you're comically bad. And I can put their owner as the worst thing in sports for Mr. Oh, well, we gave away all of our players and our fans are mad. But where are you going to go? Not to the stadium, buddy. Have you seen the attendance numbers? No one's showing up. And the ones that are showing up are putting bags on their heads because they wouldn't be caught dead at Great American Small Park watching your team absolutely be the worst in the sport. But for the NL Central as a whole, there was a time last week where at least every team was on a 4 or 5 game losing streak in the division.
So it's basically the AFC South or yes. The NFC East.
Yes. The NFC least of Major League Baseball.
Did you just say Great American Small Park?
Yes. Because it is a baby park.
I love that
and
place.
It is built for home runs. It is the dimensions are not very large. It is a hitter's park for a reason. And it's funny because the Reds can't even hit in their own hitter's park. That's how bad this team is. And the division is at a place right now where whoever wins is probably going to get swept in the first round of the playoffs. However, baseball is a sport designed for randomness. The Brewers, who could end up winning that division despite losing 10 of their last 13, are still mingling around in there, still might end up winning the World Series or something like that because baseball.
I did not know we'd have such NL Central breakdown today. Thank you.
Well, it's very fitting going into my best thing in sports.
Really?
Guys, the Cincinnati Reds have won over 22 games.
Nice.
They avoided the worst record in the history of sports. They did it. They did it.
So if listeners don't remember, I had a called shot at the beginning of the season that they would win only 22 games, and they have officially got to 23.
Well, I mean, hey, it took them all the way to June 16th, so, you know.
So I basically got the shot. No, so that was just kind of a funny best, but my real best in sports was yesterday going to 615 day, and the Preds were there, and for the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee, they all were in their tie-dye shirts and they were screaming and they were having so much fun. And it's just, it kind of grounds you to see how small, like little, like people in their Preds gear and everything and how happy it makes them. They don't even have to be on the team, but just skating with some Preds players and the kids, this event, the Nashville SC was there, TSU was there, we were there. There were a bunch of people in the community there just giving back to these kids, raising a lot of money for them. So it was just awesome to see these kids get to have a fun field trip in the summer when they don't have school, and this was a, you know, fun event for them.
A quick addendum, you know, they came out a little bit when I was in the dunk tank, but they wanted to dunk like some, you know, they had like a teacher or something, which was great. Got me out of there. But apparently, like, it timed up perfectly that they had like a line of 50 of them and Jared was in there. So it was just like boom, 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 Jared to the bottom of the tank. So another just a little bonus for the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so
real quick, I want to add one more thing to your best. Shout out to April in Portland, who was there, said hi.
Nice.
Probably our best. Probably like our best. You know, one of our best contributors on the text line.
Has very good takes.
Very good takes.
Knowledgeable
very
takes.
Yes, very good takes. I mean, very, very, you know, optimistic.
Optimistic.
Sometimes, you know, maybe.
Some people are glass half full people.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely April. But it was cool to hear. So
I'm glass half full.
Good call. Yes,
yes, that was a great day yesterday, 615 day for all the boys and girls of Middle Tennessee. Okay, now my worst in sports. Of course, we're going to end on a bad note, but it's the Cleveland Browns. You know, we talked about this yesterday, and Deshaun Watson spoke to the media last week, I think, all of our worst in sports was Deshaun Watson, with the New York Times article coming out and saying that there was actually 66 women, just a big advancement in this whole investigation, this whole case going on. But my worst in sports is going to be the Cleveland Browns because, you know, putting Deshaun Watson out there the other day to speak to the media, I feel like it was almost a cop-out for the organization because he couldn't say anything because he's in a lawsuit right now. So he essentially could just defer everything to, well, I can't discuss this. This is legal matters. I essentially plead the fifth. I can't discuss this. And basically just answered every question that was thrown at him about all of this going on. And, you know, if you're ownership of the Cleveland Browns and they said they did this lengthy investigation, and I watched the HBO Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. These women are speaking, saying, you know, the Cleveland Browns never contacted us, never contacted our lawyers and everything. So, you know, if you're ownership, you offer him the biggest guaranteed contract, right? And then, oh, we're just going to throw him out to do media because we know the reporters are going to ask some questions. He can't actually answer any of them. And we're going to sit behind our doors in there and try to figure everything out. So I just think it, here we go, the NFL again, just behind closed doors.
NFLing.
Yeah, exactly. So that is for sure my worst in sports.
Very much NFLing.
The owners love to hide behind the shield, if you will. Love to hide behind it.
So cowardly.
Yeah.
I would love, I mean, this is one of those situations where I think in a lot of these situations, you could look across the league and say, yeah, it'd pretty much be everywhere.
Everywhere. Anywhere.
I'd be interested on this one, though. I don't know. I think the Browns, I mean, the deal they gave him, the faith, the way they put themselves out there, and the absolute embarrassing lack of looking into it, is every franchise in the NFL that clueless? Maybe they are. Maybe
they're
I
don't think they're clueless. They just think you're clueless as a fan. I think that's kind of more, take our word for it. You're going to take our word for it because you're still going to be taking our money to go to these games and to watch our product.
Yeah.
Well, I think they probably thought also historically, you know, a lot of times not as much information regarding these types of things comes out, you know, and they could have just rested on their laurels thinking, okay, well, we want him as our quarterback and almost, you know, put their shields up.
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately about, you know, it's about what you can do in the field, but boy. I don't know. I feel like they, I mean, I'm glad that you singled that because you could have said NFL, but I do feel like the Browns do deserve their own special recognition for this. You know?
They do.
Like they're, ooh, and it may get worse from here too. But I think the NFL needs to go ahead and figure this out.
And they'll take their sweet time doing it. Yeah, they'll take their sweet time doing it as well. Titans thankfully don't have that kind of PR nightmare, and they did have some press conferences in which players were legally allowed to say stuff, and they didn't have lawyers telling them that they cannot be open. And one of those players is Jeffrey Simmons, who actually isn't represented by an agent, but is going through his own contract thing personally. He spoke yesterday. We'll go ahead and discuss what he said, what that means for Big Jeff's future moving forward. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, hour number two, coming up next on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.